Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control.
Praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, you're now
praise
once again
Lord.
Tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from Hopper Woods, Michigan. We come to you once again on tonight. First, and before we go into prayer, I'm asking all listeners, especially for the new listeners on tonight, please, get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God, none other than Sunday School Superintendent of the Morning Star Baptist Church. Sunday School Superintendent Deacon Eddie Blakely will be bringing forth God's word on tonight. So as we always let you know that we don't want anyone to ever take it lightly or for granted or to ever think that we're making up things as we go. We want you to be able to read it for yourself because God's word lets us know that my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. So we're going to go into prayer right now, and I'm asking all listeners if you would touch and agree with me as we go into prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. You are the Most High God. You are the Great I Am. You are our everything. So we come to you now thanking you for this another day that you have made and you've allowed us to wake up and see it without hurt, harm, or danger. We thank you for who and all that you are. We bless your name because, again, you're worthy of our praise. Heavenly Father, before we move any further, we ask that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Eddie Blakely and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, because your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. This is why we're so grateful on tonight that Jesus, your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, has risen from the dead with the victory over death, hell, and the grave, and he's now sitting at your right hand making intercessions for the saints of God. And for this, we give you glory, honor, and praise as well. We come now, Heavenly Father, lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. I petition and lift up my sister Gert. Heavenly Father, you know what she's going through with her situation. I lift up my cousin Mary Ann King in Greensboro, North Carolina, who is now in the hospital dealing with a blood infection. And then also she have other issues that's going on with her right now. So we lift up them too, and also all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We don't have to send you anywhere because we know that you're already there. We know that you're still healing, delivering, and setting your people free. So as you heal them, Heavenly Father, give them a testimony and let them not be afraid to be a witness. Let the world know that it was you who have healed them and given them the victory in the name of Jesus. We come now, Heavenly Father, lifting up Minister Teron Eppinger and his entire family and the loss of his grandmother and all those that have lost loved ones for whatever reasons, Heavenly Father, all over the land. We ask that you will continue to let them feel your peace, your joy, your strength, your comforting spirit as they go through their hour of bereavement. Let them remember and know that earth still has no sorrow, that heaven cannot heal in the name of Jesus. We come now, Heavenly Father, asking that you will move by your spirit through your man of God, Deacon Eddie Blakely, as you use him through your Holy Spirit, that those that hear this word on tonight will be able to receive your word. Heavenly Father, even those that may not be in connection with your son, Jesus Christ, those that have not opened their own mouth to confess their sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them, is our hope and our prayer and desire that even on tonight, as they hear your word, Heavenly Father, they will open their mouth and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight. And after they are saved, they will come to know that God's purpose in the earth that will give you glory, honor, and praise. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for this worldwide ministry and platform. We don't take it lightly or for granted because we know that it is of your doing and it is marvelous in our eyes. We just thank you for allowing us to be the vessels that you are using, the ambassadors, the servants that you're using to spread the good news of Jesus Christ over the worldwide platform, that you will continue to be glorified, honored, and praised. We lift up all those, Heavenly Father, that are standing in need of a blessing on tonight. You know what they stand in need of. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes into this worldwide ministry and platform. Even for those that have tuned in for the first time on tonight, bless them all in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we want to continue to lift up our men and women of God that you have planted here in the earth that are standing on your word, teaching and preaching and declaring your word and also being living epistles and examples as they teach and preach your word all over the land. I lift up my pastor and shepherd, Bishop James A. Jennings, and the Greater Shield of Faith Church family, the Morning Star Baptist Church family, Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. and his family, and all those, Heavenly Father, that are spreading the good news of Jesus Christ all over the land. We lift them up to you, Heavenly Father, that your will be done in their lives and bless the works of their hands, bless the works of the ministries that you have placed them in, that they will continue to grow and flourish for your glory, that their work will not be in vain. And you told us, Heavenly Father, in your word, that we are to pray for Jerusalem and Israel. So we come now and lift up our sisters and brothers in Jerusalem and Israel, that you will move by your spirit, have your way in Jerusalem and Israel, that they will prosper, and that the peace of Jerusalem and Israel will prevail, that you will get the glory. So have your way on tonight over this worldwide platform. Help us to decrease so that you may increase in us, because we know it's not about us. It's all about you. And for this, we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought, as we always do. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us once again in the form of a question. Who have you forgiven today? Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. Who have you, it's personal, who have you forgiven today? As we get ready to bring forth Deacon Eddie Blakely, who's going to once again bring forth God's word, if you mark your calendars, please remember that he brings forth God's word over this worldwide platform every third Saturday night. So we want to make sure that you acknowledge that and mark your calendars for that. And we are getting ready to go to our music break right now. And after the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Eddie Blakely. Enjoy the music break.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. cover me, Lord, with thy presence. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thy breath. Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me with thyself. Oh, cover me with thy presence. Hey, oh, cover me. If you cover me, I'll be protected. If you cover me, I'll be shielded. Oh, cover me. I don't want to be exposed anymore. Cover me. Oh, cover me. Under shadow of the Almighty, I need to be covered today. Oh, cover me, oh, with thy breath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My soul says yes. Yes. Come on, lift your voice and say, oh yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes, Lord. Sing this. Cover me. Come on, sing that with me. Oh, cover me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh. Somebody open your mouth and begin to bless the name of the Lord. It's here. Come on, bless him. Come on, bless him.
Yes, yes, yes. Cover me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that still works, and we know that it will never lose its power. I want you all to know, Lord, that I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. We want to remember what the Word of God tells us also before we bring forth Deacon Eddie Blakely to deliver God's Word on tonight. The Word of God also tells us that we are to pray for those that have rule over us, talking about our presidents, our governors, our mayors, anyone that have, even our pastors, everyone and anyone that have rule over us, we are to pray for them. So it behooves all of us to stand on one accord and pray for our leaders because the fervent prayers of the righteous still avail of much. So I just wanted to make sure that I let the worldwide listeners know that we are to continue to pray for one another. We are to continuously encourage one another in God's word, not with our feelings or opinions, but with God's word, that he would get the glory. So now we are ready to receive the word from Deacon Eddie Blakely. Deacon Blakely, I now yield the mic to you.
All right, Brother Brown. We're going to be in Ephesians, chapter 1 of Ephesians, starting at verse 3. Our topic is, who is included in God's plan? Who is included in God's plan? Ephesians, I think, explains it very well, and explains it to a degree to where you can look at it and understand what God's plan is, when God planned it, and how he carries his plan out, his plan for us, because of his love for us. And the answer to that question, who is in God's plan, who is part of God's plan, is everyone. Everyone you look around and see part of God's plan. But there are some conditions. And so I think Ephesians starts to explain. I'm going to start here in verse 3, Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, the praise, the glory of his grace, wherein he have made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he have abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purpose in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, whom also we have obtained, and who, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted the Christ, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after they heard the word of truth, the gospel of our, of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed, with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. That's a lot, you know. It's a lot to take in at one time. But the gist of all of this is God's will, his will. God has willed in himself. He willed it himself that we be, that we would be adopted into the family of God. Every human being has that potential to be adopted into the family of God, because it is God's will. There is not one human being who cannot qualify. Some people will say, well, you know, I don't know if I qualify, because I can't accept a God that who makes mistakes. Why is he correcting things now? Has he made a mistake? No. Here in this reading, the writer says, who is, by the way, Paul, the writer says that before the foundations of the world, God had already predestined. So therefore, the fall in the garden was not a mistake. That's a thing that everybody, not everybody, some non-believers think. They believe that because Adam fell in the garden, that God is a failure, so he has to correct things. But here in this writing, it tells us that even before the foundations of the world were created, before the world was created, before any man was created, before even Adam was created, that God had already predestined us, his creation. He predestined a way for us to come back to him. I don't want to say the trick, but it all hinges up on the Christ. Everything that we desire, everything that we long for, everything that we hope for as Christians, it is all in Christ. And it was always there in Christ. That was always God's plan for his death, burial, and his resurrection. And that all power was given to him, all authority is given to him, everything is given to Christ. It is in Christ. I was saying one Sunday, you know, in our Sunday school lesson, and just, you know, a comment on the side, that I don't know the way back to the kingdom of God. I don't know my way. I have to have guidance And in this, Paul is saying everything that I need to know and everything that I need to guide me or to lead me is in Christ. So therefore, Christ must be in me. In order for me to find my way, Christ must be in me. Everything is hinged upon Christ. Not that everyone will, not that everyone will accept Christ, but that everyone has an opportunity to be in that adoption and become sons and daughters and become of the family of God. There's no one who does not have that opportunity. No one on this earth. I don't care what country, what nationality, what race, whatever. You don't have to be Jewish. You don't have to be Spanish. You don't have to be English. You don't have to be. All you have to be is, all you have to have is Christ. You have to have Christ. Everything is in him. Let me try to parse out some particular verses. Grace be, this is verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus the Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ. All God's spiritual blessings are in Christ. So if Christ is not in you or in anyone, then they can't partake of spiritual blessings. Spirit cannot come and abide in them if they haven't Christ in them, if they haven't chosen Christ. 4, according as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He's chosen us in Christ before. Let me make it, I want to make it a little personal. He chose me in Christ before I chose Christ. He chose me in Christ before I chose Christ. I wasn't always a believer. I had doubts about who God is, or is he real, and who Jesus is. This can't be real. But I know that God has always been for me. When I look back, I can see that God has always been for me, urging me, nudging me, and the Spirit of God condemning me and, well, not condemning, but making me feel that guilt of not having made that choice. But because God's will was that I be in Christ, he sent his Spirit not to be in me, but to be, but to influence me, to influence my decision. And now that I've chosen Christ, I am in Christ. Now I am sealed forever and ever. I am part of God's family. I am now part of God's family. And then once that, then I can see the blessings that are in Christ. I can experience the spiritual blessings that are in Christ, because he is in me and I am in him, and the Holy Spirit resides with me, not just around me now, but in me, guiding me to all truth, guiding us to all truth. When we become at one with Christ, one with Christ, when we chose Christ, then that what God had predestined, it occurs. It occurs immediately when we choose Christ. Some people I know, because I was the same way, are on the edge. They're right there. They want to choose Christ, but they don't see this. They don't see this how God's plan is. God's plan actually began before the earth. So God never failed. He has never failed, and he never will fail.
That's right, no.
But this is the direction that God has given us through Paul's writing here, is that I have heard, maybe you have too, I've heard people say, well, why do I have to believe in Christ? Why do I have to go through it? I believe in God. But the proof that you believe in God is you have to speak Christ, because everything of God is in Christ. And to pursue a relationship with God, you have to pursue a relationship. In order to have a relationship with God, you need to pursue this relationship with Jesus Christ. With the relationship of one who needs a Savior and one who is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Our salvation is in him. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. Our redemption is in him. We have to understand that. Let me go over here. Jesus Christ, some people, even Christians, they believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross, and he died for our sins, and he died for us to be able to have forgiveness, and he died for us. He was a courageous, brave man and a loving man who did such a thing. And that's why I love him. You know, you hear Christians say, that is why I love him so, because he died for me. But if we are pursuing Christ, the risen Christ, he more than died for me. He is everything I need. It was a grand and great gesture that he died for me and died for us all to make this possible. God's plan would not be possible without his death, burial, and resurrection. But I pursue him now because everything I need is in him. My salvation is in him. My redemption is in him. Eternity is in him. Without him, I cannot become eternal. Without him, I have no redemption. Even though he died for me, I don't have redemption unless I have him. I don't have salvation unless I have him. I'm repeating myself because it has to sink in that without him, all of God's plans for me is turns to dust. It's nothing without him, without Jesus. So that's the answer when we as believers hear someone say, well, why do I need to believe in Jesus Christ? Why do I have to have Christ in order to have a relationship with God? Because it's the plan of God. It's God's will. And if we are to relate to God, God said it this way, that we must have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ, because everything is in Christ or will be at that time, at the proper time. at the time when God brings all this to a conclusion, everything will be in Christ. Everything that you and I need, everything that the believers need is in Christ. And everything that the unbeliever needs is in Christ, but he won't be able to access it without accepting Christ as Lord, as Savior, as Redeemer, as my everything, as we say. He is our everything. It's selfish on my part because I want to be. I want to be saved. I want to be free. I want to be made whole. I want to live in eternity with God. When God set the means by which that would happen, and Paul makes it clear here in Ephesians. I wish I had my NLT. So let me see if I can pull it up. It comes a little clearer because King James Version it's wordy. It's real wordy, and it may kind of throw us off. Can you hold on 1 second? Okay, I have here the New Living, the new, hold on 1 second, New International Version. It might be a little clearer. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heaven, in the heavenly realms, with every spiritual blessing being in Christ. He chose us in him. He chose us in Christ. Before the creation of the world, he chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight, in God's own sight. He chose us to be holy and blameless as he sees us, as God sees us. We can't be seen that way by God without us being in Christ or in love. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship. That would be son and daughtership through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to praise his glory, to praise his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in one he loves, in the one that he loves. He has given us those things, but those things are in the one he loves. So how do we obtain them? We have to be in the one he loves. There's no way to get there except by Christ, because everything in heaven, that every spiritual gift that is in heaven is in him. In him, we have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In accordance to the riches of God's grace. In other words, in accordance to God's plan, we have. In accordance with God's plan, we have forgiveness through him. We have redemption through his blood, according to God's riches, according to God's plan. And if we're not part of God's plan, if we're not actively in God's plan or choosing to be in God's plan, then we miss we miss what God has for us. Of God's grace, that he, of we miss the richness of his plan, we miss according with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. He keeps repeating the same thing again and again. He's made known to us all the things about him, all the things that he has for us. He's made it known to us. But it's in Christ that we'll find it. We will find it in Christ to be put into effect when the time reaches, when all of this is to be put into effect when time reaches their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. Under Christ, to bring all things under Christ. There won't be anything outside of Christ, any good thing, any godly thing outside of Christ. Every eternity, redemption, salvation, all the things that we yearn for and hope for is in Christ. So where do you go when you hope for something? When you hope for
just look at that from a worldly view, just from a human view. If I want groceries, I will go to the grocery store because that's where the groceries are. If I need money from the bank, then I go to the bank. I don't go to the grocery store to get the money and the bank to get groceries. I go where what I need is, and God has hidden, not hidden, but placed everything in Christ. I like to go back to the garden where Adam, where God placed Adam and Eve in the garden. They didn't need anything. They didn't even need Christ. They didn't even need Jesus. They didn't need anything because they were in God's glory. They didn't need anything. They didn't need clothes. They didn't need anything. All they had was a desire to walk with God and talk with God and have God speak with them and teach them and show them. They had a desire. But as Adam and Eve fell and sin entered into the world, then everyone born after that was born with a sin nature. And there was nothing in us that was appealing, that would appeal to us about God. Nothing. So God had already known. So he predestined, he pre-planned before the fall how all of creation would return to him, and that would be by Christ. And like I said, I know I'm repeating something over and over and over, but it needs to sink in, especially with some people. With people like I was, that had to really sink in. I had to hear it again and again. Everything that I hope for is in Christ. It's not just that he died on a cross for me, and that was a wonderful thing he did, but it's also that everything that I hope for is in him, and I must go to him. I must tell Jesus. I must go to him for what I need. I need to have this desire to walk with God, to be in relationship with God, the way God intended man to be, have a strong desire to walk with God in the cool of the day, in the warm of the afternoon, and even in the dark of the night, to walk with him and talk with him and have him talk to me. I desire that, but I desire that because I am in Christ and Christ is in me, and I develop that desire. Every child born must be born again. So I was born again. And in being born again, that desire is produced in us. That's also part of God's plan, the plan of love. It's in Christ, the love that we need to express to each other. It's in Christ. We need to be in Christ to achieve what we hope for. It is by the blood of Christ, and only by the blood. There is no other way. There is no other way. Jesus said, no one can come to the Father but by me. He wasn't boasting that, hey, I'm the big man, nobody can come to the Father but by me. What he was saying is this, that everything is in me. In order for anyone to have a relationship with the Father, they must first have a relationship with me.
Amen.
Because everything of the Father is in me. Everything that you hope for, everything you wish for, everything you need, everything, all the promises that you expect, all the prayers that go up and you want answers and need answers, all of those things are in Christ. All of those things, everything is in him. And then the big payoff is eternity is in him. We have a hard time dealing with that because I think we don't understand eternity. And I'm not saying that I do and other people don't, but, you know, I do know that we're bound by time. We're bound by a process of time. You know, I was 10, and then I was 20, and then I was 30, and then I was 40, and then I was 50, and then I was 60, and so on and so on. But eternity is not like that. Eternity is always what it is right now, and it will be that way. It was that way then. It is that way now. And it will always be that way right now. Everything is right now. And everything, I praise God and I thank him for everything that he has done because it is done. He did it before the foundation of the world. He accomplished my salvation. He made it available to me even before there was a me. Well, before there was a us, he made our salvation available to us. He's a wonderful, wonderful, all-knowing God. And
yes, Lord.
That's one you would really want to have a relationship with, no matter what I have to go through, to have a relationship with one like that, who is God like that. I love my Lord, my God. With all
yes,
my heart. That's his command, to love him with all your heart and then love one another. So love, after we understand that, then we can better explain to others. Hopefully I put it in a way where we can better explain when we share the gospel with people who don't quite understand or who don't believe, for the reason that they can't really understand. They can't understand it, so they can't accomplish that leap of faith. They can't take that step of faith because they can't comprehend what it is, how important this relationship with God is, and how valuable that relationship with Jesus Christ is, to be able to call on that name, Jesus, and have it have the veil ripped, in other words, and have the door open so that you can, as I said a little earlier, you know, walk in the cool of the day and you can build that desire. You know, people would welcome that if they could understand that. That is more than just Jesus was a little baby in a manger and Jesus was this real nice guy who walked around and he died for us. We need to understand the Jesus, the risen Jesus, the one who sits at the right hand of God, the one who stands there and defends us like a fearless lawyer. He defends us. He defends God's plan for me. He defends me when I fall. When I fall, I can ask for forgiveness in his name, and he defends me to God.
Yes, sir.
And then God sees me through Christ. He sees me through Christ, which makes me appear to be right in God's eyes. I am right in God's eyes because I am in Christ and Christ in me. And it's just a vicious circle. He's in me, I'm in him, and because I'm in him and he's in me, the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, is in me and influencing me from the inside out. My actions come from the inside out now, rather than having my actions being influenced by things from the outside of me. I have my actions influenced by what lives in me. Who lives in me? Christ lives in me. And God, Holy Spirit, lives in me. So therefore, God can see me as one whom he has predestinated. Some people think predestined means that he picked certain people out and then didn't pick, but he picks every one of us. He does not want to lose one. He picked every one of us, that's evident in what Christ his main command to his apostles, to go out and make disciples, so that no one would ever feel that I'm not part of God's plan, because I had God's plan explained to me by someone who was a believer, who is a believer. When we believe, if we truly believe, then we will go out and make disciples. When we understand what it is we believe and why we believe what we believe, then we can explain to others what it is we believe and why we believe it and why it's important that they should believe it, because they are already chosen by God to live eternally with him. Who wouldn't like that? Who wouldn't love that when it's understood that it's already done? God has already done it. We just need to reach out and take it, accept it, and receive it. Receive it all from Christ, by Christ, in Christ, and of Christ, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer. Are we running late? Because
clock. You have about two more minutes. I just love the way you're explaining this and the way you're breaking it down, because I'm going to interject this too. What you're talking about in the Word of God says, out of all thy getting, get understanding. And we have to let people know that don't believe in Jesus Christ and that don't know Jesus Christ, why we believe, what we believe in, and how we believe it. So you can continue.
Yes, that was the whole point of why this Ephesians 1, why it grabbed me, because it was me. I was that person that I'm talking about who, it wasn't that I hated God or I hated people who believed God. It's just that I couldn't bring myself to, because I didn't know why. I was one of those people, I need to know why. I need to know why I believe. I need to know why I should be so confident in Jesus Christ. I need to know why I should have so much faith. I need to know the why. And some people just do, you know. But I think, well, in my case, I gave up all the whys once I understood what I was reading and understood what was being preached. Then I can go out and tell others why. Anyone who has the question why, I can explain
to
them
why. It goes right back to what I just said. Deacon Blakely, it goes right back to what I said, the word of God. We have to apply the word of God. It says, out of all that getting, get understanding. And a lot of people that have not accepted Jesus Christ, they fully don't understand. And that's why we have to make sure as Christians that we know what we're talking about, and we have to know in whom we believe, and it's all by faith. That when we start speaking to other people, that non-believer, that we can be led by the Holy Spirit, and as God lead us through his word as to what to give that individual, that they will be able to receive it. So they have to hear it, then they have to be able to receive it. And then once they receive it, then they can accept it.
That's the point, exactly. I think that's Paul's point here, why he wrote this to the church about, you know, he was giving them honor for their early acceptance, how they accepted so early. And because these were the early, very early Christians, and these were, some of them were Jews, and they believed Jesus. They believed who Jesus was, and they believed. But there were some Gentiles mixed with them. And Paul was giving the good news that now, you Gentiles, not that this is not something that God decided later, that now you Gentiles can come in too. No, he had pre-planned that all the way before the beginning, before the foundations of the world. He had pre-planned that these Gentiles will also be part of God's family. So therefore, there is no one, no human being you can see run into on this earth who's not part of God's redemption plan, not part of God's plan for eternity. There is no one who's not part of that plan.
Amen.
And I thank
you. Okay, now we're about to run out, Deacon Blakely. Now our time is about to run out. So you know what? I think you need to do a part two to this lesson for the next time that you come on, Deacon Blakely, if you don't mind, if you can further study this so you can come back with part two, because this is a powerful, powerful word on tonight, that someone that's listening on tonight that do not know who Jesus Christ, I think they now have a clearer understanding of why it's so important, because it's personal. Then you have to make your own decision. God give us free will to make our own choice. And so I think you need to kind of get ready for part two with this, so we can, the next time you come on, you can finish, conclude with part two of this message on tonight.
Yeah, we can go further.
I just want to say to you,
there's always a way to go further.
Amen. That's right. So I want to say to you, as we're ready to close out for tonight, thank you so much, Deacon Blakely. This is none other than Deacon Edward Blakely, the Sunday School Superintendent at the Morning Star, Dr. Church. No problem. To God be the glory. Once again, our guest for tonight was none other than Deacon Eddie Blakely, the Sunday School Superintendent at the Morning Star Baptist Church, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor and shepherd there, where I serve as a musician. So we just thank God for his word that has gone forth on tonight through Deacon Blakely. And it's our prayer, our hope, and desire that it has been received on tonight, that should there be anyone that's not saved in Jesus' name, they have more clarification of why it is so important and why it is so vital and necessary that you open your own mouth and accept Jesus Christ and be saved in his name, because it's only through Jesus Christ that one can be saved, because God is our creator and our heavenly Father for those that are saved in Jesus' name. So if you are not saved in Jesus' name, yes, you you're not, you don't belong to God. You belong to God once you accept Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can be saved is through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. So, Deacon Blakely, thank you for that powerful word and that powerful lesson on tonight. And again, I pray that it has been received by every listener on tonight. We know that it's not going out void. It's going to accomplish everything that God has set out for to do over the airwaves on tonight.
Amen.
That God will be glorified. So right now, we're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, once again, we come to you giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you are truly worthy to be praised. We thank you for your Son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. We thank you for his finished work on the cross through the shedding of his blood, that we have the victory through Christ Jesus. And everything, all of our hang-ups, all of our sins were nailed to the cross because of his redeeming power. And we know that the blood of Jesus still works, and it will never lose its power. And your word lets us know that once we're saved in Jesus' name, that nothing and no one can pluck us out of your hand. And for this, we are grateful. So now, Lord, we come asking that you will move by your Spirit on tomorrow in every sanctuary, whether they are in person or whether they're on social media delivering your word, that you will move by your Spirit, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word, that you will get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, once again,
amen.
I want you all to know that I love you, know that God loves you even more. So remember what I always say, encourage one another in God's word, not with your feelings, not with your opinions, but according to God's word. So we want to continue to lift up the sick and afflicted. My first cousin, Mary Ann King, who's in the hospital, my sister, Gert, and all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, we want to continue to pray for them, that God will heal them and restore them, and all those that are bereaved, that the Lord will continue to let them feel his peace, his joy, his strength, and his comforting power as they go through the hour of bereavement, that God, through it all, will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until the next time,
amen.
Continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Amen.